And it's 3:30 on May 12, 2011. I want to welcome everyone to the Texas Library Association webinar, Leading Instruction, Collaborating for Success. This will be a discussion of the relationship between integrated library instruction and teacher-librarian collaboration. One more time, everyone should be dialed in toll-free to the conference call to hear the audio portion of this webinar at 866-740-1260. But if you should have any trouble seeing or hearing any part of today's webinar, please contact toll-free ReadyTalk support line 800 at 843-9166. That's 800-843-9166. Later, I want to encourage everyone to visit our CE webpage, www.txla.org/CE. This is where you'll be able to print out your continuing education certificates for this webinar. This program does carry 1 hour of SBEC credit, State Board of Educator Certification. On the screen you see now, the top button on the left-hand menu, CE registration and credit certificates, that's the button you'll use to get into the credit certificate system and print out your own certificate. The button below that, Library of Webinar Recordings, is where you'll find a free recording of this webinar next week. We're asking everyone to mute their background noise by pressing star six on your phone. You'll be able to unmute your phone later by pressing *7 if you have a question. If you do have a question, please use the raise hand button on your screen to get our attention. Or you can type questions at any time via the chat box in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. Go ahead and chat those questions if you think of them. We'll also be calling for questions at the end of the presentation. If you are tweeting about today's webinar, the Twitter hashtag is #TLAWeb. That's #TLAWeb. And I want to introduce our speakers for today. Sharon Swarner is a librarian at Robert E. Lee High School at Northeast ISD in San Antonio. And Kathy Shaw is a librarian at Ronald Reagan High School, also in Northeast ISD in San Antonio. And we are very pleased to have them speaking today on this topic. Sharon and Kathy.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kathy Shaw, and we're glad that you can join us this afternoon for our webinar. I'm the little guy on the right-hand side right here. There we go. As librarians, we continually face the dilemma of, should we collaborate first on the lesson, or do we just take a lesson that comes to us as is and go with it? All of us have been to workshops where presenters proclaim how vitally important it is to collaborate before that class comes to the library. Even some presenters suggest that classes should not even be allowed in the library until that collaboration process has taken place. But we all agree that it is the ideal situation when collaboration takes place first, on the ground level, before that lesson is developed. But realistically, how often does this happen? Teachers often arrive in our library after that lesson has been planned. We found that offering a quality instruction for a lesson already planned can be extremely powerful and often lead to more powerful collaborative opportunities. So we as librarians just need to revitalize and review our attitudes, practices, and skills.
And this is Sharon Swarner. I'm a librarian at Lee. I also welcome you. We think that there are certain kinds of attitudes that are really foundational to successful collaboration, and that we need to be role models for these kind of attitudes in our schools, particularly those attitudes that lead to successful collaboration. So our most important attitude that we need to keep upmost in our mind is really flexibility. And as librarians, I don't think there are many of us left standing that don't know how to deal with change, because heaven knows in our field we've seen more than our fair share of it. But we need to keep that whole idea and an attitude of being adaptable and open for change and ready for whatever comes our way. In addition to that sort of an adaptability sense, we really think that enthusiasm is catching as is important to sort of catch your audience if you want to collaborate with them. So we're really about being friendly and welcoming into the library. We can't afford to have anybody see us as that stodgy, sort of stereotypical librarian. So it's important for us to sort of exude excitement about our program and about what we do, because if we're not excited about it, no one else will be. Another sort of attitude that librarians need to have who are looking for collaboration is to champion the efforts of not only your library, but of the district and of the campus. Because if we own these goals, we know that they're driven by student success. And so when we're excited about the goals and we're goal-focused, that leads to better opportunities for advocacy. And so that is the way that we can be proactive and opportunistic about what we have to do, so that when there's an issue, when there's a concern, when there's an opportunity, the librarian is naturally thought of as, well, how can the library help us while we're doing this initiative or this goal or even this lesson? And then finally, and it's important to remember, and I think it kind of undergirds everything that we do, and that is patience. We have to have patience with our teachers as we work with them, and we have to have patience with ourselves as we work with those teachers, because we know that collaboration, as Kathy was just talking about, is really an event that is a spectrum event. There's some people are at the lower end, there's some people at the other end. So we have to be patient with ourselves and with our teachers as we move them to sort of broaden their spectrum of collaboration. When we talk about collaboration, we know that it can take place at all kinds of levels. And I worked at Central Office for 7 years, so I know that it's important to have a district-level collaboration if it's possible, because at that level you can really lay some important groundwork. And I do appreciate that for Central Office people, what that usually means is lots and lots of meetings that may only marginally pertain to a library program. And again, when I said that patience is key, this is where for those people, you know, you just have to continue to go to those meetings and to listen, because it's there that you begin to build trust and relationships with those curriculum writers. And then as issues come up or as programs are developed, the librarians are a natural part of that conversation. And then you can be in on the ground floor for things. One of the things that we did in our district that was very powerful and affirming for the library program was that we developed a new course. It was a middle school course. It was called Advanced Contemporary Literacy. And it was very rigorous, and it had a spiraling curriculum that's based on nonfiction reading and research. So once we knew that that was what they were looking to do, we knew that the library was a natural fit to help with that. So we were able to work with those librarians or work with those curriculum writers, and librarians from the campus came in and we helped design the course, we helped build the structure for it, we helped plan the units, and then we were even able to help build those natural daily lessons, and we were just an integrated part of that entire course. So that's a rare opportunity when you get to help build a course in the district, but it was really very rewarding, and it helped the curriculum people at the district level see how powerfully helpful librarians can be. Another opportunity that we took was when the ELA teaks, because, you know, they are such an important part of what we do. They're really kind of our bread and butter department in the library. So when the new ELA teaks were being brought out, even when they hadn't been, you know, they were just in their rough draft form, one of the things that we did in the library is we've been working on sort of a library scope and sequence. So we looked at our scope and sequence, at what we wanted our students to be able to do when they come to the library, with what those ELAR standards were. And it took a lot of time. I have to say, we spent a lot of time in meetings looking over those and aligning what we could do. But when we were finished with that, we could be very familiar with what those English standards were. And then when it came time for talking to our teachers on the campus, we were really able to talk to them in their language and in their curriculum, in terms of their curriculum, so that we could really have some very good collaborative opportunities, and that has been very, I would say, fruitful. for us in the library.
Another way the librarians in the Northeast District have taken the opportunity to contribute to curriculum development is by using those staff development days at the beginning of the school year, those days that a lot of teachers feel are a waste of time and they don't want to be there. But we as librarians are excited about those days because we get to work with coordinators, department team leaders, and really promote the library. One example involves the social studies department. The librarians in the district, at least at the high schools, for a couple of years had been doing their freshman orientation with our world geography classes instead of our English classes. And so we decided during this in-service or curriculum day, we would meet with the social studies deans from each of the high school campuses, along with the team leaders for each of the different social studies classes there, and develop a continuation plan on how, after we've worked with these freshmen, to go ahead and continue our efforts through that world history and American history and government. The session was a great success, and each librarian left the meeting with plans for library lessons to promote that year. Another thing is on the campus level. On the campus level, we like to have invite our departments to come to the library for their department meetings. They have these biweekly, probably, and so at least once a semester, we invite them to have their meeting in the library. This is a change of venue for them. It kind of excites the teachers. Sometimes we offer refreshments, which is always a plus. And it gives us the chance to present library resources that are tailored to that particular department. The librarians do everything possible to help teachers on our campus. That is why we provide teacher resource links in an easy place to find these, and this is what you're seeing on your screen right here. This is part of our portal. And this section right here, I'm going to try to highlight all this right here. This little section of our portal right here has to do with library resources. Those are links to helpful places that our teachers use most often, like our availability calendar, discovery education, copyright presentations, fair use, all those things that they might have questions about. As you can see that we offer other things too, but that one is what I'm going to talk about now, just the teacher resources. Another thing, another practice for librarians is try to become administrators of online accounts. This practice brings attention to the library, it helps foster relationships with teachers, and it establishes the library as a place to find all types of resources. About a year ago, I was at one of these meetings they were having in the library, and the teachers were talking about Turnitin and how they wanted Turnitin for their students, how they just couldn't convince the district to purchase this product. So at the next leadership meeting, I offered to contribute some of our library funds toward the purchase of Turnitin. And leading this effort, several other departments and the principal jumped in, and they contributed funds towards this. So last summer, this was in May of last year, so all last summer, I spent many hours attending training, webinars, learning about Turnitin, and I, you know, did sample student views and sample teacher views. And during campus curriculum day before school started in August, I, along with the other librarians that on our campus, presented Turnitin to the teachers. We gave them examples of best practices and ways to improve student writing. So teachers, teams, and departments all flocked to the library for help and ideas after this session. The word got out to other high schools. I want that. And so by January, the district had purchased Turnitin for all high school campuses, and librarians on each campus became administrators of those campus accounts. So that is just, you know, one example of, you know, go that little extra mile and put yourself out there to help those teachers.
Another way that we do that, just another example, is that, and I'm sure that a lot of our districts that are listening have Discovery Streaming. In our district, it's the librarian who is the administrator for those accounts. So it's just about trying to be as indispensable as possible, bringing teachers in to give them training, to show them how they can integrate these resources, and to have conversations about how then you can work with them in any other way. So it's just really our practice to look for ways to increase the conversations with the teachers so that we can help their students with the skills that they need. And when we talk about skills, what we're really talking about is putting those attitudes and the practices we just talked about into action. So I know that I said that that flexibility is an attitude, but we also think it's our very best skill that we have is to be able to think on our feet and to nurture budding ideas with our teachers. This is really about the casual conversation or the run through the library before school begins with a, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And so I think it's vital that librarians have just sort of a skill set where they can say, well, what if we try this? Let's do this. Let's what if? And so you have several possibilities ready at the drop of a hat to offer to teachers, and then you can sort of see what sparks that interest and what's really going to work for that teacher. I had a lovely little brand-new teacher. She's new to teaching, and she's in the English department. So she had come to the library several times because we do a lot of planning kind of at grade levels. So while we had never collaborated with her particularly, she felt welcome and she felt comfortable to come to the library. So one morning she really literally was running through the library, and she stopped and she said, so how am I going to teach Jim Crow laws? But it was she was really there for some nurturing through a pretty stressful time because she always felt that in the library we valued collaboration and instruction. So we were able to kind of come up with several ideas for her. I saw the one that absolutely her eyes just kind of brightened up. So I put some information together. I created some questions for her students and sent that to her. And she didn't come to the library for that lesson at all or that unit. We had nothing to do with that. But she really I think kind of felt the nurturing that we do with a lesson to sort of make it the best that we possibly can.
There are times when we as librarians do have to reach out to teachers when it comes to collaborating. And one way that we have found to do this is to develop an instructional worksheet that will guide both the librarian and the teacher through this planning process. We all know that collaboration with teachers is an ongoing process and one where we continue to build trust and relationships with teachers. One example is this sheet right here, and this is a form that the librarians at Reagan use when planning with teachers. It was designed to basically lessen the defensiveness of the teacher, and it guides us when we are planning with the teachers. This form changes, and we like to say it improves from year to year. As databases change, the collaboration process continues to grow. So over the last several years, we've had up to five librarians working at different times in the library, and therefore you can see in the little box that is yellowed out right there, we put initials there. That way we know which librarian did that original collaboration with that teacher. So if somebody else is actually working with the class, they can refer back to this sheet or go to the librarian who did the initial contact and ask any questions. We know that doing this planning form is a key to a teacher being successful in the library. Students being successful also. We make notes on the page as we make suggestions and ideas and as we collaborate with the teachers. This has been a wonderful tool, and it just lessens the anxiety of all those teachers when coming to the library to reserve library time for a project. When the collaboration is complete, we make a copy of this form. We give it to the teachers involved, and up at the top, you can see there's three teachers right there. So we give each of those teachers this form, and then we place this form in our notebook where we have our class calendar. When we come back to it the next year, we often revisit this lesson to see how we can improve it from 1 year to the next.
We also have a form. I think everybody in our district at every high school has one. And I know when I started, I believe I came to Kathy and borrowed hers. And we just, again, it really is, we've changed and adapted it every year. So while it is different in form, the function of it is exactly the same. One of the things that we have done is that we've got a two-sided sheet so that we can put our daily activities, what we're going to do. And that is, talk about nurturing and lessening that anxiety. It's really able to show the teacher what you're going to do, what value you're adding to our lesson that day, what and how you're going to build from one day to the next. So they have a very good sense of that. And because we... Kathy Schmucky, she has many librarians that work here because they're a public library also, but most of the rest of us, there was just 1.5 librarians on a campus. So the halftime person often is not there during the collaborative process. So one of the things that we did that also helped us when we wrote out kind of day by day what we're going to do is we've also included some instructional strategies, and that is to help us know how we're going to teach it. It's also to help us kind of not get into a rut because, you know, sometimes you just do things sort of the same way that you did them last year or the year before. So it's, to kind of bring some of those best practices to mind. We keep these also from year to year because we do not really feel like we have the luxury of, well, we just don't, with our teachers of sitting down and reflecting on how these things work. So we also, I type mine up because ours look really bad in real life. They're very scribbledy because we really talk about what maybe we need to purchase new things, maybe we need to change some of the topics that we're done. So we use these really as our internal reflective piece, wishing that we had time to do that.
And collaboration is a continuing process. We know that from year to year, we continue to build relationships and build the trust with the teachers. So I have one example that I would like to share, and that is with a teacher, Mr. DeLeon. Several years ago, Mr. DeLeon came to Reagan High School as a criminal justice teacher on an emergency certificate. His first year to teach, he was fresh from being a probation officer. So he bebops into the library, hearing that it was the fun place it is, and says, "Hey, I want to do research with my students on the mafia." "Oh, great." And then he proceeded to hand me this lesson where the kids were going to use the internet and just search the different mafia families out there. And so we kind of went with that year, but over a period of 3 years, we worked on this, and we went from just having researching the internet to having a top quality lesson, complete with using a variety of resources, including technology and group work. He would even had a rubric this time and included MLA citations. I worked with him to purchase books for his students, so that would help with the project. We helped him develop his research list, research questions. We determined the best electronic resources to use instead of the internet. And we planned and transformed this lesson from year to year. Finally, we had a project that involved that higher learning thinking, and that was our goal. It was a continuing process.
And I can really speak to that because my oldest child was in his class the very first year that he came to Reagan, and my youngest child was in his class the last year he was here. And the amount of student engagement and the quality was amazing. And I'm sure most of us have stories like that, but they all, of course, involve patience, perseverance, and just continually using our best possible practices. So now, Because, again, we know that we've all gone to those workshops, and it's collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. So what we really want to talk about now is kind of the flip side of the collaboration coin, and that's the instructional side, because we firmly believe that you cannot sustain one if you don't have the other. And that instructional side, that's kind of that show-me-the-money piece, because teachers, when they come in, you know, we are all on such a breakneck pace with our curriculum and our pacing guides and the changing curriculum and the changing teaks and the more the pressure that's brought to bear, that we have to have something to show our teachers in order for them to come back. So building great relationships and strong collaborative and trust, I mean, those are all fabulous things, but we have to have great instruction. And like collaboration, strong instruction, we also believe, is really built on good attitudes. And one of those attitudes is that we have to know that first and foremost we're teachers. We have to see ourselves as teachers, and we have to have others on our campus see ourselves as teachers. And when we do that, then we're really working with equals. And a corollary to being teachers first is that we need to not just be teachers. We don't want to just be like a mediocre teacher or regular kind of teachers. We really kind of have to step into that role as instructional leaders. And we need to set that expectation for ourselves and accept that mantle of educational or of instructional leadership. And when we do that, then those things can really lead to advocacy for our program, because then the library does not become a meeting place, because it's one of the largest places in the room with the most chairs. So I know that's often the way administrators see that. But when we're teachers first, when we're instructional leaders, then we can advocate for the library as a classroom.
Okay. Sorry. Another attitude is, you know, librarians becoming that active learner. We have to force ourselves to move out of our comfort zone, and we all know we're in there. And try new methods, try new strategies. We must move away from what is the easiest for us and to what is most beneficial for our students. One way to become an active learner is to attend some of the same workshops as our teachers attend. Read some journals and keep abreast of new learning styles and teaching trends. And one of the most important that I like is observe those master teachers and model some of their successful teaching methods. And by doing this, we provide an example for others and show them that we are open to learning from our colleagues and our peers. We put attitudes to practice by becoming instructional leaders. We make our jobs so essential that teachers need us. They want us. And they won't be able to exist without our library programs. How do you do this? Well, it's important to keep abreast of things like TEKS and any changes coming our way. Being familiar with new courses maybe added that year, because each year it seems like at Reagan there's a new course added. New curriculum is developed, and scope and sequence is written for all courses. So, additionally, show you are a leader and use technology also. It would probably be a good practice. Make sure your faculty sees you as that information specialist in all formats. Not only can you teach students how to find information in books, but also show them how to use the correct search terms to find information in the electronic resources databases, and yes, even the internet. Enhancing learning is an important practice for librarians also. One way I do this at Reagan High School is by creating a lesson agenda. It kind of follows that lesson planning sheet that you saw a few slides back. And so what we do is, because we have different librarians, we do a planning sheet. We take this from our worksheet, and we do an agenda. We call it an agenda. So we have just quick notes on what we're going to make sure that we point out for classes. So when we have a librarian on one side of the library with one teacher and an additional librarian on the other side with a teacher, we all make sure that we're going over the same things and that all of those students receive that same information. A good place to keep these agendas are with those teacher planning worksheets in that same notebook. And we also use these to go over, you know, the next year to see how we can improve our instruction that way also. All of us enjoy being instructional leaders. Yeah. And so, and we all feel a part of our faculty, or at least I hope all of us feel a part of a faculty, and like to be participate in different groups. So professional developments are a great way to remind the faculty that we are not only librarians, but we are also teachers. This year our faculty was involved in a book study where a group of four teachers took a technique from the book Teach Like a Champion to present to the entire faculty. Really, I think it was so the whole faculty wouldn't have to read the entire book or make it a way out even. So this offered me an opportunity to work with three teachers from departments that usually don't come to the library. Guess what those were? The math department. So we worked, we planned, we laughed together, and instead of using the same old PowerPoint like everybody else did, we used Extra Normal, and we made a movie for our presentation. And when the presentation was over, you wouldn't believe how many teachers showed up in the library inquiring, Extra Normal, where do you get that? How much do you have to pay for it? So it was a great way to promote the library that way also.
Another way to enhance learning that we do on our campus is that we sponsor a technology each year, kind of a new thing every year. And this year what we did is that we sponsored a poll everywhere, the use of that. And we did that through our social studies teachers during Black History Month. We created a who's who gallery of African Americans in different at different areas, and we had our students vote because we know that texting is really that kind of technology that meets students where they live, in fact, where they live most of the time, and we know that's exactly what their thumbs are doing almost all the time. So we decided that Poll Everywhere would be a great technology to bring to our faculty, and what we did then was that we created accounts for every teacher, all of our social studies teachers, and we created very step-by-step detailed instructions for what to do. We created all the polls. I did that. There was like 600 polls. You can watch TV and create polls because I did that. There was a lot of polls to be created. But by the end of that month, with the reminders of here's how you do it step-by-step, with the support and with training, our teachers were very familiar, very comfortable with this, and we've heard about many of our teachers now who have incorporated this little technology into their classrooms. So we try to do that and sort of help our teachers and support them and enhance that learning experience. We know they're the experts in their or in their field for their content, so we like to kind of try to help them go beyond that. A couple of years ago, we really worked with Glogster, and we had teachers and their classes come into the library, and it was, I don't want to say painful, but a little bit, a little messy, a little painful, but we got teachers doing that, and now we see kids come in, and they're using Glogster all the time, and I know that they're not in the library, that those lessons don't come from there, and so teachers really have become more independent. So each year we're kind of on the lookout for something that we're looking really maybe at Museum Box, but I did find a new thing today, so I may not go with Museum Box. I might go with a little something else that I found today that that we can help enhance the teacher's learning and in their instruction. Another thing that we talked about, and I'm going to go and see if this works, is what we can do as a practice to help teachers improve instruction is to share and participate. And one of the things that we do, one of the things that we do is that we like to build collegial relationships with the librarians because we think that that could be very strong and very powerful librarians working and sharing with librarians and as a way to help our instruction. So one of the things we started many years ago, and it has just grown every year, has been a lesson plan database. And this really was for K through 8 librarians. This is a place where they can put their exemplary lessons other librarians can come to these. And it really, when we did this, I think it was one of those things that really raised everybody's level, because they had to be exemplary. You had to bring them to your colleagues to look at. And so people were very careful and very thoughtful. And so we have a lot of very powerful lesson ideas. So this is a fabulous place where librarians share their expertise with each other. And if you need to come up with a new idea for how do I teach that lesson that we've been doing a long time, or a teacher has come in with a lesson that you've never done before, it's a great resource for librarians to come, and they can have great confidence that this is going to be high quality and very specific and directed for libraries. Another thing that we've done, and is another sharing tool that we do use, is a dedicated librarian wiki. This is sort of our current iteration, although we've had several in the past as we sort of perfect this. And this wiki serves as a workspace for librarians and a repository also. And it allows us to have kind of ongoing discussions about issues in the library world and to give feedback to things that are happening so that we can really have a good, thorough discussion. In addition to these kind of formal sharing mechanisms, we also have built into our meetings usually a time to share, some way to do that. But we also have, and I think this is very powerful, informal ways of practices of sharing. Many years ago, I don't know how many years, I don't know how they all blend together now, librarians started to just send out an email and say, I'd like to, let's have a share session, and that's what it was called. So they would simply come to a campus, and they would bring an idea, they'd bring a lesson, or they would bring questions. And this was particularly helpful for our newer librarians, who could then come and listen to what people were doing to see what others had to offer. They had attitudes and practices of sharing with each other, so there was no, this is mine, and it was just, here's this good idea, you take it, you build on it, how can we help with that? And those informal sharing sessions also are just really a way for librarians to hone their instructional practices and their instructional skills. So that's some of the ways that we've done that in our district that we've found to be very successful. And as we've kind of refined these practices, we've found that we need to improve our instructional skills and the tools that we use for our instruction.
So after we have established our best practices, it's time to put those skills to work. A skill we as librarians use very often is build partnerships. In fact, that's one of my favorite, is building partnerships with teachers at our school. But it can go beyond teachers. It can be building partnerships with district coordinators or with webmasters or counselors and many, many more. The list goes on and on. But one of my favorite people to build a relationship with is our campus instructional technology specialist. And building this partnership can lead to a win-win situation for both teachers, students, library, and the ITS. The way we use our ITS is the teacher brings the kids to the library, and our ITS and myself work together. I do the part of the lesson and the part that deals with the project and the research portion of the project. And then the ITS joins in and teaches the technology tools. And then when you throw the teacher into the mix, the partnership just builds and builds. The students learn so much, and we learn from each other. So if a student comes to the library and the ITS isn't in here, I can pick that part up and help where that ITS has left off. So that's just one small example of a powerful partnership.
And we also know that we really have to provide relevant instruction. So we have to know the course requirements. We have to know what outcomes teachers are looking for. We have to know our own resources. We have to know those Web 2.0 tools. And we may not know everything for every instructional event, but we have to have a vision for where we want our students to go. And for us in high school, it's really all about our college readiness skills. And when we talk to teachers about we have tools that we can bring specific skills to bear for college readiness, then teachers absolutely will work with you. One of the tools that we have found to be most helpful is, thank you, there it is our digital note-taking. And this has been a tool that helps guide students to really large parts of the research process. It helps students formulate their questions so they know what kind of evidence they're looking for to support whatever their thesis is, whatever their topic is. And it trains them on sort of academic behaviors. And that's an important skill set they need to go when they go on to college, to be actually college ready and not have to take those remedial classes that parents have to pay for, because I have done that myself, and, you know, this is never fun. So we really want to send kids out knowing how to do these things. So we really can train students that including a citation is a must, and it's an absolute academic behavior that they have to have. And it's really also a way to train our teachers, not our English teachers, who, you know, they're very much on board with that, but our social studies teachers, those teachers in those CATE classes for whom they just don't really understand the importance of that, and they certainly don't require it. When we have kids that are using the digital note form, it's just built in as a part of the practice. So that's important. We also know that we live in a digital age. It's a cut-and-paste world. We cut and paste. So we acknowledge that that's what students do, and that's really an appropriate way to find information. So we have, as a part of our forum, where you absolutely can go and find the information that answers your research question, you can put it in there. And while you can use that information, you cannot, of course, use those words. So the next step in the process is really teaching kids then to paraphrase. This is where you use the information, but you transform it into your own words. So also what this has helped do is it makes the process very transparent. We print these by the bushel load, I have to say, at our school, because then teachers are able to look and see the process. This is where the kid got the information. This is sort of how they treated it and what they used in their paper. So it really has cut down on some of the plagiarism and things that are possible like that. So our goal has always been to instill those kind of academic behaviors and to make the process more automatic. And I can say, I know we talked about patience sort of as an attitude, that it really has paid off, because in the 3 years where we've used this, this year it has come to just great fruition, and it has warmed my heart, because the kids who've now been doing this for 3 years, it's finally kind of clicked, because this was difficult to teach, but now it's so automatic, and I'll walk through the library and kids are taking digital notes, not even in a class. They're coming before and they're doing it. And really the key part is, of course, is how to do this paraphrasing piece, how to take that information and put it in your own words. And we see kids now who are really able to do that. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's a great skill that they should be able to take to college without this form, because we really, there's nothing magic about the form. It's really just all about the process. Another thing that we did this year, and we did it with all of our ninth graders, and it was very labor-intensive, was that we had each ninth grade, we did it through our English teachers, we had each ninth grade class develop their own website evaluation tool. And we, and of course, they ended up looking very similar, but we made every class go through the process. What should you be thinking about? What questions should you ask yourself? And we hope that now having this tool that the students have created for themselves, that over the course of their high school education and their high school career with us, they'll really train themselves to be able to kind of automatically evaluate that information that they use. And we think that is, of course, a vital 21st century college-ready skill.
One of the resources that we developed at Reagan High School started with the purchase of a $15 a year subscription, and that's what you see right there. It's Porter Portal. Kids can go to our library website, and all of you listening in are, you know, feel free to try this out. All you have to do is go to neisd.net/Reagan, click on library, and click on Porter Portal, and you will see this, and you're welcome to use any of these ideas. But we saw a presentation of Porter Portal from another teacher, actually, and we decided, gosh, we can use that for our research assignments. So what you see here are the place where we post assignments. And I'm going to kind of highlight, since my worksheet and my agenda was all with the Great Gatsby, I'm going to highlight this. These two things are the assignment, the requirements, and the rubrics in there. This is what the students were actually handed by their teachers. So we asked the teachers to send us an electronic copy of this, and we post them on our Porter Portal. That way, if a student's at home or has lost those hard copies, they can always get to this. They just have to have access to a computer. And then the things that you see below down here are links. They are doing literary theory on the Great Gatsby. So we have found the best, and, you know, we've put little wows right here and a thumbs up here, the best websites that will not really help them with that assignment, but it will refresh their memory on what those literary theories are. We also add any links that the teacher suggests, and this was one, the Purdue Owl Literary Theory, the school of that. So we only show current assignments, and what you can do with this is you can hide from view any old assignment, so they're ready just with one click to post up there the next year with any tweaks you have to that lesson. The bottom of this page is what you've seen before when I showed you the the teacher resources right here. So this is just the bottom of the page you just saw. And here's where we have our post our student resources, how to get to our portals from home. Here's our website evaluation. It's a little bit different from the one Sharon showed you. Turn it in. Here's our note-taking, that form that Sharon was talking to you about. Here's where you find that form. And we also posted a sample form that's right here. And that's because freshmen, sometimes they're not used to doing this. They have a simplified version at middle school. So they like to look at this. Oh, yes, I remember. And it kind of guides them through that. Over here we have writing a paper. We show them a sample MI Lifestyle paper in case they get confused with where the heading and indention and margins are. And then, of course, we are big fans of the Purdue Online Writing Lab and the formatting style guide. So we have all of these things that will help a student. And because we're part of the San Antonio Public Library, that's just additional things. And this is what you have seen before.
So all of these attitudes, practices, and resources we hope help improve our instruction, which in turn we know improves student achievement because that's, of course, always the real goal. So we think that strong, relevant instruction inevitably leads to better collaboration. And when you work in a collaborative group that's goal-focused, it will, without any doubt, improve your instruction. So that teachers and students don't see library instruction as just something more that we have to do, but it's really something better. And with that, we conclude.
Thank you so much, Sharon, and thank you, Kathy. And we now invite questions from the audience. I think by this content, you can see why Northeast ISD was selected by the American Association of School Librarians as the National School Library Program of the Year for 2011, and they will be recognized in New Orleans at ALA in June. And we congratulate NEISD, and we invite the audience now to pose any questions. Feel free to raise your hand with the raise hand button or chat those questions to us. Chat box in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. And Sharon and Kathy, while we wait for questions to come in, there was an earlier request. Would it be possible for you to share some of the forms that you've developed?
Absolutely.
That librarians
I was going to ask about that. On the continuing ed website, is there a place to post forms that would accompany this?
Yes, absolutely.
Then we'll get those together and send those to you because we use them on a daily basis. So.
Okay, that's great. People can take what they need out of those, and we'll post those along with your original article from the Texas Library Journal. People will see all of that when they go for the recording.
And like I mentioned, if you go to www.neisd.net/Reagan and go to just click on the link that says library, you will see that portal right there. If you click on that, we have the links to and the files for some of those items we talked about also.
Okay. Rosemary, to answer your question about if you missed part of the session, a free recording of this webinar will be available next week on our CE page, www.txla.org/CE, and I will repeat that address again at the conclusion of the program. We do have a request, more information about your poll section. If you could say a little more about that, please.
It's a free service. It's just polleverywhere.com. And we could even put that on the slides that you're going to post, Ted. We can kind of edit that slide and put the URL. But it's just polleverywhere.com. It's a free kind of service that allows you to have 32, you could get an educator account, and you can have 32 free responses if you per poll. So what we did is that I created accounts for each of the teachers, and then I created a poll. Well, I created really bunches of polls, but I created a poll for each of their class periods. So most teachers have 6 polls, so I would create 6 polls for that day's voting, and then in each of those polls, 32 kids could respond, or you get 32 respondents. So it's really about texting in, which is a great thing to do. We use the poll where you just text in a number. We do not pay for it. It's very expensive if you pay for it. It's like crazy expensive. So the kids just text in a number, and it's really easy to set up, and you can see how it works. There's also a way to do a poll with where they can text in answers. You know, they can text actual words in, but we work in a high school, and we would never do that because that could be you can't. There's no filter, I'm just saying.
Right.
So, you know, if you work with high schoolers, you know that this could be a dangerous situation from the kid back in the corner.
And we've used Poll Everywhere, too. The kids love it.
They
you
love
mean
it.
We can get out our phones?
Yeah.
It's very good.
In fact, you can bring them out of your pocket where you've been texting all class and actually use it for something that's real. So it was just a really easy thing to do. I see another question about this museum box. The other thing we found today, it's Dippity.
Oh.
It's a timeline, so we've never done that. We're working with an American history teacher who's never come to the library in his life, and I believe he's been in the district maybe 35 years. And so he came through the other day and said, well, I guess I could give you a couple of days with my students if you could think of something to do with them. That was a challenge.
He came in.
So he did. So he's going to come in, and but it's Dippity. So that's what we're going to do, and it's just Dippity.com, and it's a timeline creator. And so I really don't know much about it. I haven't played with it much, but I really think that we can have lots of applications for teachers with that.
Sharon, could you spell that for us, and we'll put it up on the chat?
Okay, I have to spell it myself. Dippity.com. Dippity. Dippity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty easy to use. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Any other questions today for our speakers? Well, you have been listening to the Texas Library Association webinar, Leading Instruction, Collaborating for Success, by award-winning librarians Sharon Swarner and Kathy Shaw. And again, congratulations on being the Library Program of the Year by AASL. This webinar is also brought to you by the Texas Library Association. I want to particularly thank Nan Ellis, our registration coordinator, Marianne Emerson, our webmaster, Ilea, who handled chat, that's her in the very back next to the door, and I am Ted Warner, your CE specialist and your host for the webinar series, and I am the guy in the back right. Our special thanks also to ReadyTalk, which is our platform for our webinar series. Please remember that continuing education certificates may be printed tomorrow, May 13th, on the TLA CE website, www.txla.org/CE. Recordings will be available next week at the TLA CE Library, which is the same website, but you can also get to CE-Library. And please complete the evaluation survey following the webinar. We are still fairly new to the webinar business, and we are very anxious to know what other topics you would like us to cover. If you have any questions about the webinars, please contact me at the contact information now appearing on your screen. Again, we want to thank all of you for participating today, and thank you so much, Kathy and Sharon.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Wish everyone a good weekend.
Bye.